Last time we were talking about the first part of the creed of the Muslims, and I was wondering if you could give us a summary of what are the major points that we've covered and to start linking them to today's session.
I would say there are three basic points that we discussed last time. First is to talk about the creed in Islam, or the confession of faith, if you will. And we said that the door to Islam, really, the statement which, if said with conviction and sincerity, would make the person automatically a Muslim, is to recite La ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, and he said Allah means God, capital G, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. This was the first thing to emphasize, and we tried to indicate that to recite that confession of faith, there is no need for church, priesthood, or officiation. It's a matter of conviction and sincerity. Mm-hmm. The second major point that we discussed was the question as to why the Islamic creed or confession of faith starts with negation rather than affirmation. And the main reasons we described last time, that first of all, the recognition of the supremacy of Allah, God, of necessity exclude attributing any divine attribute or divinity or godhood to any of the creatures of Allah. So by necessity, it has to be also a negation rather than simply an affirmation, negation of other than Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And the second main reason is that we said that even though monotheism, the belief in the one and universal God, has been preached throughout history from Adam to Prophet Noah, Prophet Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, all of these prophets, we noticed that historically monotheism has been compromised. It was mixed with philosophical and theological ideas that really took it away from its pure and simple original form. And Islam, in the final form, or the mission of Prophet Muhammad being the conclusion of this divine revelation, must take into account these deviations or aberrations of the original monotheism, and as such, it is very important to clarify negation so that we don't lapse back into this older type of errors. Thirdly, we started dealing with specific areas of negation, and we described basically two areas. One is the idolatry or worship of idols, which the Quran has again condemned in very clear terms, and we have given citations from the Quran. And the second was the worship of objects in nature or powers in nature, like wind, the sun, the moon, and so on. And again, we quoted the Quran indicating that these are creatures of Allah. They are really signs of his presence, omnipotence, compassion, and that they should be taken only as signs, not as objects of worship in themselves. This was about what you covered. We didn't really cover all the negations last time.